Welcome, Earthlings, to San Dimas, California.
That's right, folks. Tonight we're heading to San Dimas, California. You may remember why that might be two fellas from that place. Couldn't play guitar worth a damn. And somehow they went back in time and met a whole host of amazing people. Like Wingman Socrates, hey. And also Napoleon and Sigmund Freud. Genghis Khan. Also Joan of Arc. All these amazing ones, all on that amazing format. And of course, heading into the past. And here we are in the past, checking out all the greats, like Billy the Kid. Or is it Rom from Tron? Rom from Tron? I'm not sure. We're going to talk about that tonight here on the show. I'm your host, Adam O'Brien, so I hope you're ready, folks, because we're going to get right into it all here on the one, the only, the Lethal Mullet Podcast, brought to you by Fandom Podcast Network. So get your telephone booths ready, get your guitars ready, and make sure Rufus is nearby, because here we go. Welcome to Fandom Podcast Network. This is Lethal Mullet Podcast, a celebration of 1980s action cinema. Celebrating the heroes of yesterday, Schwarzenegger, Stallone, Bruce Willis, Van Damme, all the way down to, of course, the big great action films that we all enjoyed on VHS, and of course, Betamax. The loves of American Ninja, all the way through to Cyborg Cop and beyond. Here at Fandom Podcast Network's Lethal Mullet Podcast, join Adam O'Brien as we celebrate action movie cinema.
G'day, mate. How you going? This is Lethal Mullet. Adam O'Brien coming to you live from Quinlan's Cantina in the Gold Coast of Australia for episode number 57 of the Lethal Mullet Podcast. Now, I do apologise. We were meant to have the Batman show out this episode, number 57. Don't worry, it's coming. It'll be the next episode, episode number 58, which has got five of us on it chatting about 1989's Tim Burton Batman. It's on the way. We just had a few technical snafus, which are getting fixed up, and we are going to have that out to you very, very soon. It's a really good episode. It's an hour and 20 minutes of chatting one of the most amazing and, let's just say, influential comic book movies ever made. And still to this day, that and, you know, Batman Returns, I'm quite partial to as well, which we will be doing in another episode very, very soon on this very podcast. So I think we've got Blair coming back for that one as well, and most likely Lee as well. Maybe Kyle, but Kevin passed on it. It's not his favourite as well, which is fair enough. It's one you either like or you don't like. It's a very Tim Burton film, put it that way. Tonight we're going to look at another 1989 classic, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. And when I heard Kevin the Raider Nerd Reitzel and Kyle Wagner, we're going to look at their take. I had to give the mullet take. We've got to get there first before them. Because, you know, I want to show what the Australians thought of this movie, because I saw it. Actually, the drive-in, that's right, all places are seen, and the Toyota Corolla turned around backwards, put the hatch up in the back. We sat back in that with Eskies, that's where you put your beers in and your cold meat and all that sort of stuff, chilling. You pull out your drumsticks, sit in the back of the car, go, right, oh, mate, let's watch this, eh? Put the speaker on the window, yeah, here we go, mate. Oh, yeah, right, who's this Keanu Reeves guy? Oh, yeah, let's watch this, eh? And that's what it is. It really is one of those films we've watched over the years. That and, of course, Bogus Journey, which is the second one, which is fantastic as well. And great soundtracks as well. It's rock and roll. And this is the movie that clearly Kevin Smith ripped off. Well, at least ripped off the characters. Whoa! Bodacious, man! Like, excellent! And, of course, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles also ripped this off. Guys, you did. There's no getting around it. The whole, oh, it's that pizza, man. Come on. What are we doing, man? All that sort of stuff comes straight from Bill and Ted's. It was their first, did it better, always better. And, of course, the two stars are just fantastic. Alex Winter, of course, we know him from one of the greats. And, of course, Joel Schumacher's The Lost Boys. And, of course, big shout-out to obviously Joel Schumacher passing away. Very sad this week. Losing him, and just got to say that I've always enjoyed his work, and I think he's just one of those real champions of filmmaking that got not only people started in their careers, just got people out there and just made interesting films, always did. So loved it. And I think this, you know, this film in particular that he did, Lost Boys, started quite a few careers. Obviously, Jason Patrick, we got Jamie Gertz. Obviously, Kiefer Sutherland as well did really well. Hell of a lot of mullets in this movie too. Whoa. And the dude with the saxophone, can't remember him, but yeah, hey, he did pretty damn well too. But we're going to be chatting about, of course, Bill and Tess, Excellent Adventure, man, very soon. After we check out, of course, how to find this show and more on the Phantom Podcast Network.
The number you have dialed has been changed. The new number is...
G'day, my name's Gowan. Follow the Lethal Mullet here on Phantom Podcast Network's master channel at fbnet.podbean.com or subscribe on the Podbean app, where you can find all the shows. Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast. Culture Clash, a weekly look at pop culture. New look at Making Treks, a Star Trek fan podcast. You can also check out The Mullet Guild, a look at the Dune universe from me, the Lethal Mullet. You can also check out this show and all the others like What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast. Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast. Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast, and much, much more. All on FPN. You can follow on Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and all podcatchers. Make sure you follow me, The Lethal Mullet, at The Lethal Mullet on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. So a big shout out to Kevin, the Raider Nerd, Reitzel, Kyle Wagner, Lee Fillingsness, and of course Blair Hiscock for their help this week celebrating Tim Burton's Batman. And as mentioned before, you're going to love the show, guys. It really gets into what we loved about it out here in Australia, America, obviously, as well, with the boys over there. And just the merchandise, we really get into the fun. There's a lot of great merchandise in that film, too. So check that out. That'll be next Monday, episode number 58, here on the Lethal Mullet podcast. But it's time to get into the news, folks, so here we go. Now it's time for the latest action news from the cinema and martial arts movies and more, all here on the Lethal Mullet podcast. All right, folks, let's get into it. So there's quite a bit of news out there right now in the movies, and of course we're going to start with comic book news, or comic book adaptation news, whatever you want to call it, but DC is hot on coming out with some great stuff. One of the big ones, obviously, we're going to be talking about more of this next episode, but Michael Keaton is in talks to return as Batman in the Flashpoint film, which is, of course, the Flash movie with Ezra Miller that is going to be put together by Andy Muschietti. I think I'm pronouncing the name right. I hope so. But he's directing that one and putting together. It's going to be basically the Flash. You can do a lot of time travel. You can do alternate universes. And obviously, there's multiple universes. It's a multiverse in the DC area. So there's a good chance that, I mean, look, if Christian Bale wanted to come back, you could do the Nolan universe of Batman. But the big talk is that we're going to get an older, aged Batman mentor Bruce Wayne character, obviously from the Tim Burton universe, 30 years plus, coming back and being kind of a mentor to the Flash and to a prospective Batgirl character in the movies. This is huge news. I mean, Michael Keaton's always looked at Batman as a beloved character. There's even talks of him on the Spider-Man film that he did. He was always stirring up trouble with Tom Holland going, "I'm Batman." So he is huge in that. Obviously, he owes a certain amount to that character, what he did. And it's still, to this day, probably the greatest Batman adaptation. You know, no matter how you feel about it, it's still... pivotal point. 1989, huge, massive. We'll talk about more in the next podcast. Save it for then. But that's the news coming out from there. But the other bit, it was in Fat Man Beyond. Kevin Smith mentioned the possibility of Ryan Reynolds returning to the role of Green Lantern in a cameo in the Snyder Cut of Justice League. This is huge. It's massive. I've always enjoyed the Green Lantern film. I mean, you either love it or you hate it. It gets obviously parodied a lot, But I love it. I actually really enjoyed that movie. They got things right on that. Mark Strong in there as this kind of mentor figure, Sinestro. Sinestro is one of my favorite DC characters. I mean, it gets out there. He's kind of like a James Bond villain in some ways. You know, he plays, tugs on the heartstrings, if you like. Great character, really on point. But one of the big things about that is bringing him into it kind of solidifies the multiverse. So it is really strong. I love it. It's definitely something they've got to move on with. There's a lot of films that are now delayed. One of those, of course, is Tenet, which is Christopher Nolan's new film. Was due to come out in July. It's now being put back till August. So I'm not sure the exact reason, but that's happening. One of the big things as Dune fans for, of course, Denis Villeneuve's film, we've been waiting for the December 18th film's trailer to release. So Inception is still going to be coming out in mid-July. I think it's 10-year anniversary. Showing in cinemas to basically open the cinemas back up in the States. They're open here in Australia already. We've got some really interesting films being shown right now. Commando, I saw out there somewhere. Top Gun. Man, who doesn't want to see Top Gun? You know, to see that again out there would be great, you know. But any of those great films from the 80s, they're out there. And even drive-ins are open as well. So with that being pushed back, we're going to most likely see the Dune trailer now, probably online, which is great. So long as we see it, it's great. And there's some real great stuff out there. If you check out the Twitter feeds, particularly with what we're doing with the Mullet Guild, we've got dear friends of the cast and some great people out there doing some work on YouTube, video channels and stuff like that. There's been a lot released when it comes to little snippets of photos and stuff like that, even some not just concept work, but actual set photos going up of Dune. I'm not going to spoil it. You've got to go and check it out. But even some of the machinery, I'm not going to even spoil that too. I want you guys to go and check it out. So go and check that out. And we'll be talking about it on the Molecule. We'll be saving it for them. So I think the biggest thing is just going to be held off a little bit longer. So one of those things is we're going to definitely see the likes of those films getting more of a YouTube trailer release, that sort of thing too. So without further ado, folks, let's head into the pub because we've got to chat about Bill and Ted's excellent mullet, man. Come on. Alrighty, mate. Time to go down to the pub for a pint, a chat, action movies and more here on the Lethal Mullet Podcast. Alright, folks, let's chat about it. We're here in the pub. So check this out. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, starring Keanu Reeves, Alex Winter, George Carlin as Rufus, as mentioned. And of course, Chris Matheson as the ugly waiter. We have Ed Solomon, the stupid waiter. We've got also Hal Landon Jr. as Captain Logan. And of course, Amy Stoke as Missy Mum. There's a few jokes for her in that one too. This is a film that came out in 1989. And it's huge. It's great. It's fantastic. This is the start of the "Hey, dude, how you doing, man?" franchise. But tonight we're going to be looking at the celebration of what this time travel movie is. It is basically Doctor Who with dudes, man. That's what it is. It is literally, well, think about it, from the BBC perspective, from the actual thing itself. So BBC had obviously Doctor Who from the 1960s and on. And it's crazy. It's going to be huge. It's going to be one of those ones where you look at, in the long run, it is one about time travel in any sort of circumstance. Now, it used a police box, which is kind of a little bit like, you might say, a phone box, kind of like that. It's like an emergency unit. And I think the writers on this one, they've seen, obviously, the DeLorean had been used by the Back to the Future films, which was about 3 years earlier. And so they had to look at something else, some other way of doing time travel. And a telephone booth was kind of, if any, a piss take of Doctor Who. So it's interesting. It's actually pretty fun. So in this case, they put two actors in it that were up and coming. So obviously, Alex Winter and Keanu Reeves. Both were on their way to stardom. So it's a great start. And obviously putting them in the midst of going to meet all these famous people in time. Because their whole thing was they had a history exam, which they were going to fail. But in comes Rufus, this time traveler from the future, in a phone box, phone booth, comes out and he goes, "Hey, dudes, you're going to come to the future. You're going to see," because at the end of the day, they are the leaders of the future. They are the ones that basically a religion is based around, where they come to check out the music of these two amazing musicians, brings the entire universe together. So when you get down to it, the big part of this film is the center of both Ted, so Ted Theodore Logan and Bill S. Preston Esquire, the Wild Stallions, come together to bring peace to the galaxy, to the timeline. So a big part of that is Rufus getting that set up, and the fact that to pass their history exam, which they're flunking everything, they're getting, you know, wasn't Caesar a salad dressing dude? You know, all those little lines we see in the film. And of course, part of that is that they're going to go in time to meet famous people. People like Bill and Ted go down to meet Billy the Kid. They meet Socrates, man! Which is, of course, Socrates. Then they get to see Sigmund Freud, Joan of Arc, Napoleon, and, of course, you know, go to the Civil War as well. Meet Abraham Lincoln. And, of course, many others as we go through it. The film was directed by Stephen Herrick. Came out in 18th of January 1990 here in Australia. And the budget of the film was only $10 million. But it did four times that and more. It did actually, box office worldwide, $40.5 million in US dollars. So it's huge. Obviously, it's a series that spurned not only films, but cartoons as well. We got Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey a little bit later. And very soon, this year, we're going to get Bill and Ted Face the Music, which is huge. It's going to be massive. So we see the trailer, which is just being released recently. And it's actually quite fun. It's in the same tone, particularly for Keanu, because he's done a lot of stuff recently which breaks from that, hey, dude, how you doing, man, sort of role. He's doing things like, obviously, John Wick with the 47 Ronin. We've had The Matrix. I mean, he is one of those actors that can just become anything, anyone. So I think a lot of over the last 20 years, we've known him mainly as Neo from The Matrix, you know. Mr. Anderson. But getting past that, obviously he's become more than that. John Wick, he's just become super popular. As soon as John Wick came in, out in, was it 2013, whatever it was. Obviously we've got two other films, plus a TV series on the way. It's huge. It's massive. Merchandise, you get action figures now. You know, soundtracks, you name it. John Wick is out there. People are even cosplaying now in those perfectly sort of dark blue, navy blue suits, arming themselves up with, you know, BB guns and stuff like that, and going out and being, you know, basically part of that universe. It's huge. And that's what he's known for now, obviously, is that part. So, obviously, great character actor. He can do just about anything. Man of Tai Chi is actually probably my favourite film of his he's done recently. Obviously, he directed that one too, so hats off to... Yeah, Ted Theodore Logan, man. But let's get into that in the film now very, very soon. We'll talk about it. So Bill and Ted are high school buddies starting a band. They call it Wild Stallions. They can't even spell it right. Which you find out in the film, folks, obviously. And they can't play their instruments either. They're not even well-trained in instruments. So part of the fun of this film is seeing these absolute doofuses face the West, the medieval days, Napoleon, you name it. They go and face everything, and still they come out trumps. However, they're about to fail the history class, which means Ted will be sent to military school, and they receive help from Rufus, a traveler from the future, where their band is the foundation for a perfect society. So obviously it's one of those 90s, well, 80, 89, 90 film, but it really shows one of those funky futures, you know, where you got the... You know, these sort of beautiful, exuberant sort of societies with funky neon and stuff like that. It's pretty out there. Obviously, they go to different points in history in this and bring those important people back to the present, which is half the fun of the second half of the film, which we'll go on about very soon. So, you know, it's huge. It's a crowd pleaser. This is a great film. Much loved out here in Australia. I mean, I saw it on the drive-in, then on VHS years later as well. That came out. I think it was about a year and a half's difference between that and theatrical release, 1990, or at least halfway through 1990. And it was one of those ones. I rented it out when it was brand new. Got it out. I remember it was $6.95 as a rental. So there you go. I even remember that. And chilled back, and we watched this thing, and I'm like, wow, it's done in whatever it was, 90 minutes, 80 minutes, 85 minutes. Boom, put it back in, rewound it, watched it again, and I'm like, far out, this is the best bloody time travel movie I've ever seen. I love this movie better than Back to the Future. As much as I love, you know, Marty McFly and Doc Brown and that universe, this was better, man, because it had the rock and roll with it, and it kind of felt like teenagers, you know. Marty always seemed too old for me, you know, always seemed, as in, you know, you couldn't resonate with him because he's kind of like, you know, he was always 20. He looked 20. He didn't look like a teen. These guys acted like teens because we did say, dude, and man, and wow, whoa, that happened, man. It was there. That was present. Even in here in Australia, we said all that stuff. So, but anyway, we're going to get into that now as we head into the Lethal Cafe. So chill back. Relax and look at the nitty gritty of this film with trivia and more.
Please hang up and try again.
Now it's time for the Lethal Mullet Cafe as we chill back, relax, and look at the trivia. All the detail, the nitty gritty of the films we are celebrating. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure came out in 1989. It's a science fiction comedy film directed by Stephen Herrick, written by Chris Matheson, and of course, Ed Solomon. We were actually behind a brand new film called Face the Music. It might be starring Keanu Reeves, man, and Alex Winter, man. Most likely. Obviously, it's a time-traveling film produced by Scott Krupf, Michael S. Murphy, and, of course, Joel Suisson. This is a film starring, of course, Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter. Music by David Newman, and, of course, came out by Interscope Communications. Now, a little bit of fact here and a bit of trivia. When I saw that Interscope, I was like, yeah, I think I've heard that before. Interscope actually made a bunch of music CDs, a bunch of recorded artists. And of course, it was a record label, folks. That's right. Interscope put out the Primus CDs all through the 90s, you know, whether it was Tommy the Cat, John the Fisherman, or My Name is Mud. They all had those. It was fantastic. So, obviously, they did more than that. This was distributed by Orion Pictures. Yes, the same that did RoboCop. And internationally, out here in Australia, De Laurentiis Entertainment Group. It was released in the States in February 17, 1989. 90-minute runtime. And, of course, box office total $40.5 million. Which makes it, obviously, a bit of a hit, with, obviously, a budget running. So not only did we have movie stars in this one, we had VHS superstars. That's right. What I mean by that is that we got to know them through all of the great movies that we were getting onto the new format that was the hit of the 80s, wasn't it? It was just brilliant. It was the greatest. That is, of course, VHS. In 2688, humanity is an utopian society, and they're inspired by the music of the past, the wisdom of the two great ones, which, of course, is Bill S. Preston, Esquire, and Ted Theodore Logan. Now, the people of this time think, them obviously, that they're, you know, the ultimate people. They're the ultimate when it comes to being right there and then. But of course, the two guys from the past that are the Wild Stallions are far from that back in the 1980s. And so, one of the future, Rufus, is brought back in the past to San Dimas, California in 1988. Uses a time machine shaped like a phone booth.
Insert Dr. Hugh humor. Dr. Hugh humor. Dr. Hugh humor.
And obviously, the two dim-witted students, you know, absolute silly guys have got no idea their IQs are the bottom of the level. They successfully need to pass a history class. They need to get past this history class and to be able to go through. But if they don't pass, Ted's going to, obviously, forced by his father, who's a police captain, go to a military school. And obviously, that's the big thing. The military school's in Alaska, man. It's like completely out of here, dude. And so, obviously, their band that they're trying to put together, called the Wild Stallions, is their only dream. And obviously, they can't even play the music. Can't play guitar. They make themselves out to be the Van Halen of that time, but they can't do it, mate, you know? Obviously, Rufus comes down here and says, well, look, we're going to use this time machine. We're going to go and find these people. We're going to actually get this project done. So, what follows, obviously, is a half an hour of jumping through time. Obviously, at the Circle K, which is pretty much just a 7-Eleven. So, you go there, it's... here, insert, obviously, where Kevin Smith, I think, got a lot of the ideas from, is the Circle K is pretty much like his stop that you see in his films, where you see Jay and Silent Bob tripping out at the front, whether it's in Clerks or Mallrats, all that sort of thing. They're just chilling out going, oh, snoochie boochies, man, all that sort of crap. It comes straight from here. He'd be the first person who I met it, I'm sure. He would admit the character come from that. Because his influence on that. And then Leonardo, man. Donatello, Raffaello, and who's the other guy, man? Oh, Splinter, man. That's all there. So the big thing at the end of the day is that they've got to go on the pass and try and pass this exam. So they go back in time. They meet Bill. As in Billy the Kid back in the West. It's quite a good, funny scene. They go into a saloon, they do all the stuff, playing cards, all that stuff. And when Billy the Kid comes up, guess who it is? From Tron, it is Rom. That's right. Remember when Flynn gets put in a cell? Alright, so he gets put in a cell in Tron, and the next cell over is Rom. That's right. So Rom is the character in this one, so it's pretty damn cool. So one of the big things about that is making sure that it is part of the universe. Let's just get down to it. That's a complete screw-up there. His name is Ram, not Rom. Crikey. That would have been so close to Tron. Tron and Rom. It's Ram, of course. That is, of course, Daniel Shaw. And we're going to talk about him. We're going to talk about the rest of the cast quickly now, too. Keanu Reeves, you know. Very well. Self-explanatory. That's Ted Theodore Logan. Alex Winter, who we talked a little bit about. Of course, obviously, he's from also The Lost Boys. Quite a few other things, too. His father was a famous director as well. Done a little bit of work, I do believe, on the Death Wish series. George Carlin, of course, played Rufus. Now, George, unfortunately, he's passed away now, but was one of those comedians that really, you know, didn't hold back. no matter what. Very funny guy. Some vulgar comedy and stuff like that too, but as a stand-up comedian, he was, you know, a real social critic as well, written books, but really just, again, it was dark comedy, you know. he even had a routine which was called the 7 Dirty Words routine, and just basically would just unload. Very funny guy. And as Rufus, he's kind of like, if you're liking it to Star Wars, he's your Obi-Wan Kenobi. He's there to tell the kids, you know, what they're going to have to do. What the two Wild Stallions are going to have to do. Gives them the advice. We also have Terry Camilleri as Napoleon Bonaparte. I actually think, even though this is a comedy, his portrayal of Napoleon is pretty on point. Like, pretty smack on right where it needs to be. I actually think it's... not only is it funny, I think he's really nailed just the essence of what the character is. And he's actually a Maltese-born Australian actor. And obviously he's mainly known for that as well, but he was also in Superman 3. He has appearance in The Truman Show, and obviously appearances in things like Special Branch, that sort of stuff too. Really quite good, I think, in the role. There's also, of course, Dan Shaw, who, as Billy the Kid, he's kind of like the cool person from the past. Obviously, he's a gunslinger in this, but he gets to know the guys really well. And he's probably, because it's so close to modern times, he's one of the few that really understands what's going on a little bit. And he's got a wingman, of course, and that is, of course, Socrates, played by Tony Steedman, who's an English actor. I only really know him from this role. Obviously, he's probably done quite a bit before this. He's done a lot of television. He's done some Babylon 5, I think, is the main thing I knew him. But Socrates is kind of the coolest character because when they go back to, obviously, Greece, you know, he gets to meet Billy the Kid, gets to know the guys. He doesn't understand that the guys straight up because of the ancient Greek that he speaks, but you know, they do the little gesture from Days of Our Lives. The sands and the hourglass, these are the days of our lives. You know, it's again, a nice little sort of nod. The great character. And as back in the old days of Jogcast Radio, when Kevin Reitzel and I did a show on Bill and Ted's, we kind of said he's the ultimate wingman. Kev came up with that. He said, you think about it, he's the ultimate wingman. He's there for Billy whenever he needs to, when they go into the shopping center and hanging around Bill and Ted's. Really, really cool. Sigmund Freud, obviously, is quite funny in this. Played by Rod Loomis. He's an actor who's born in St. Albans, Vermont. And he's also known mainly for, it looks like, Broadway work and Jekyll and Hyde as well. Al Leong, who doesn't know Al Leong? He's kind of like the be-all and end-all of action film cinema. This guy has not only worked in front of the camera, but also behind the camera as well. He is a stuntman, but also a well-versed martial artist. Probably one of the greatest coming from LA and the San Francisco area. His martial arts skills cover everything from Northern Shaolin Kung Fu, Taekwondo, Kali, and Jiu-Jitsu. You probably know he's got, if you've seen him, he's got that Fu Manchu-style moustache. You usually got the long hair as well, either tied back or left out long. But he's just this pint-sized dynamo who's just able to do just about anything when it comes to, martial arts or action scenes and stuff like that. Obviously, he plays Genghis Khan in there, so he gets to really show off a lot of his athleticism. And absolutely, one of the greatest things is the weaponry skills. Obviously, he's a very well-versed in all the weapon systems of his known martial arts. Carly will be with the sticks. Shaolin Kung Fu, obviously, it covers everything. Northern Shaolin Sword, a few other things. I've actually studied that style, so I know there's quite a few weapons in it. But also, obviously, he's from Lethal Weapon, played the torturer of Mel Gibson's character in that. Die Hard, he plays the great little terrorist role where he's down in the bottom of the foyer of the Nakatomi Plaza, and as he's waiting for the police to come through, he's got that little candy bar that he sees under the cabinet. He looks around to see if anyone's looking before he sneaks a bite. Big Trouble in Little China, obviously, and They Live. It's just so many other movies that you could name that he's in. One of the great ones, of course, is Rapid Fire, which was, of course, pretty much the commercial success for Brandon Lee to get him moving into Hollywood. So, great actor, still out there, still doing what he needs to do. Joan of Arc, played by Jane Wilden. Robert V. Varon, playing Abraham Lincoln. Clifford David, playing Ludwig van Beethoven. What a great character. They really pushed that one and to give us some great parts of that too. Hal Landon Jr. plays Captain Jonathan Logan. And he's quite good in this. He's a very dry role, but one has done quite well. Bernie Casey as Mr. Ryan, Bill and Ted's history teacher. Bernie is in a lot of film and TV through the 80s and 90s. Very well-known actor. Amy Stock-Poynton playing Missy Preston, Bill's stepmother. Obviously, there's quite a few funny jokes in that one too. So that's pretty much the main cast of this film.
But the film itself, obviously written by Ed Solomon and Chris Matheson as early as 1987. And obviously it's come from, by the sound of it, from a little stand-up comedy routine that they had going all the way from school or college or something like that. Stephen Herrick actually called the actual screenplay incredibly laugh out loud. You think about it. It's a pretty outlandish concept, isn't it? Obviously, taken around to all the different distributors, they went from Warner Brothers, and of course, end up being picked up by Dino De Laurentiis and De Laurentiis Entertainment Group, the great makers of David Lynch's Dune. That's right, David Lynch's Dune. I could do that again for you if you like. David Lynch's Dune. There you go. Obviously, too, this has been around, so they're always coming up with who you're going to put in those roles. Now, this film, obviously, gone around, and, how are they going to take it out and, take these two characters into the past and stuff like that? Obviously, cars have been done with Back to the Future. So what are they going to do? Put it in a combi van? something different like that? Because these are, they're not dopers, but they're certainly not quite out there, I think it's a bit honest. Honestly, they're just a bit silly, really, when it comes down to it. But the whole idea, they started out, by the look of it, on one of the scripts in a van, and it wasn't until later that they sort of figured out, let's change that into, some other format. So it was going to be actually a 1969 Chevrolet. And obviously after that, they changed it to a telephone booth. Now, the ironic thing of that is that it's even funnier to take the piss out of Doctor Who, so why not do that? So they did. Now, some of the actors they looked at originally were Paulie Shore, River Phoenix, Sean Bean. Sean Penn, and Brendan Fraser. Now, see, Brendan Fraser fits that mold because you look at, obviously, Airheads in particular, he's, he's already got that in there, Paulie Shore fits that perfectly too. So you got the two from the Encino Man. This would have been Encino Man's Excellent Adventure. Do you know what I mean? Like it's quite funny. Look, Keanu Reeves was the first to audition, and obviously they knew straight away he was going to be Ted. And Alex Winter, came along, and straight away they had the sort of same rapport. I think those two really got along. And you can kind of tell those two would have that sort of feel straight up too. And I think that's what made it really gel. And of course, George Carlin as Rufus, I think, if you put it in that little sort of trinity, if you like, so you got the two guys and obviously their mentor, their teacher. Rufus is kind of like that cool uncle that you just wish you had. He's great. There's not a lot of time on screen with Rufus. Rufus sort of comes, delivers the technology, delivers what they've got to do, and then psh, off he goes. And I think that's what makes it so freaking amazing, Others that were going to fit it were people like Ringo Starr, Roger Daltrey. See, Roger Daltrey would have worked. That's great. Charlie Sheen. Sorry. Not even then. Or Sean Connery. See, Sean Connery kind of done that with Highlander already, and Highlander would have been, a couple of years earlier. So he would have had, my name is Rufus, and I'm going to, look, there's your telephone booth over there. If you go and shine, you can go back and we can meet the Highlander. So you can kind of, it doesn't work. And again, there's kind of this feel that, he's not only is he a strict sort of history teacher sort of feel, he's got the cool dialogue, but he also shreds like Eddie Van Halen or Slash from Guns N' Roses or you name it. Like he's got that sort of Jimmy Page sort of exquisiteness when it comes to guitar. Obviously, a big part of this is, if anything, there's kind of like a ZZ Top feel to those guys, because they're crazy. They're kind of out there, outlandish, swinging the guitars around like nuts. And I think that's the big thing that always was thrown around the place, no matter what. Believe it or not, the film was only shot on $8.5 million. And they even had some time in Italy to shoot this. All right. So it's the kind of thing that, they're going after that. So if you think it's Monty Python, That's what Stephen Herrick was trying to get, you know? And I think that's why they sort of went for those sorts of feel and trying to get those areas. Many of the scenes were for the high school was at Scottsdale's Coronado High School. So that's where all the school stuff was shot. They went to Phoenix, Arizona and Tempe, Arizona for a lot of the sort of shops and areas and all that sort of stuff too. And there's also the Western Street on the back lot of Southwestern Studio at Carefree, Arizona. See, when I heard that, I kind of thought it was that one that you get out there where they shot Tombstone and all those others. I can't remember what that one's called. I've seen it a number of times. And actually, if you go on Google Maps or Street View, you can actually see the old set. And it's where they shot Silverado as well. There's many. I think White Earp was even shot there too. They're all shot pretty much at the same set because it's used for everything. Everything except for Deadwood, apparently. and obviously the castle set was Otis Scalchi Castle, standing as obviously Henry the VI castle. So obviously there's the time stuff was given. There's some really good sort of effects for the time, you know, going through crazy sort of almost looks like Lawnmower Man style. At that time, that was the big peak of effects, and we all love that sort of stuff too. So but it came together. We had this film that was basically, it made pretty damn good money, and I think that's why we got obviously launched pretty much the careers of those two guys. Obviously Keanu more in front of the camera, Alex actually is who's sort of behind the camera more these days, but whether it's directing, producing, etc. too, but you can still see him doing TV and stuff like that too. He's fantastic talent too. So, folks, there it is. It is undoubtedly one of the greatest action, adventure, time-traveling comedies out there. On the Hallenbach scale, it gets a whopping big 5. Why? Because you can sit down and watch it at any time, enjoy yourself, enjoy your time, and it just, you know, your time's just, boom, you love it every single time. I love that film. And I know the boys are actually recording their own show of this too, which will come out in a couple of weeks' time too. We all love it. We all love this film. And I can't wait to see what Face the Music brings us. If anything, I think we're going to sell one hell of a comedy on our ways to come and check out. So before we wrap up, my name's Adam O'Brien. I'm the Lethal Mullet here, of course, recording from Quinlan's Cantina on the Gold Coast of Australia. We will be back with the Batman show as soon as we can get these technical issues out there. It's a huge show, multiple tracks recording, so we've kind of got to compress that down so you guys can actually listen to it. And that'll be out soon. We're also going to be covering Batman Returns the next couple of weeks too, and I've just been told too that we might be doing a Megaforce one with Kevin the Raider Nerd Reisel, which will be a lot of fun too, because I'm fairly new to that one. I haven't seen it since VHS, and there's lots and lots of info that Kev has on merchandise, music of the show, the whole movie itself. And to me, the movie really feels like a G.I. Joe live action. That's what it feels like. Anyway, that's enough from me. Stay tuned for the ending of this show.
G'day, folks. Hope you're enjoying the great shows here on the Phantom Podcast Network. Be sure to check out all the great shows that we have on offer and subscribe on the master feed at fbnet.podbean.com. You can check Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast hosted by Kevin the Raider Nerd Reisel and Lee Fillingsis on their platform. You can also check out Culture Clash, which is the weekly look at pop culture hosted by Kevin and Kyle. Couch Potato Theatre, this is a cult classics and guilty pleasure podcast. Also Time Warp, a fandom flashback show. End Zone, a look at the NFL, the American football. Also, Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast, looking at the great films of Alfred Hitchcock. Union Federation podcast, a Star Trek and Orville podcast, looking at Discovery and, of course, Picard, plus the Orville. Also, the Hair Metal podcast, looking at the great shows put on by the amazing bands back in the late 80s, their discs, their LPs, everything, all covering the fashion as well. Hosted by Kevin the Raider Nerd Reisel. You can also check out Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, hosted by Kevin and Dan Hadley, looking at all the eras of Doctor Who. You can also catch out What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast, an amazing show looking at Star Wars, hosted by Derek and Scott. And of course, our newest one, the amazing, The Mullet Guild,
an offshoot of the Lethal Mullet podcast looking at Frank Herbert's Dune universe. This is like an encyclopedia for Dune, where I take you through and down into the rabbit hole of Frank Herbert's amazing space opera, the sprawling universe which is going to be brought to life by Denis Villeneuve and December 18. You can check out all the shows there. Be sure to also go on to the social platforms on Twitter at Fanpod Network. Let us know what you think of the shows and what else you can look at there. You can also check out great articles that we put up through there that we share. Also check out on Instagram and Facebook, Fandom Podcast Network. Be sure to make sure that every Tuesday you check out the great work done by Making Treks as well. A brand new podcast looking at a deep dive of Star Trek, hosted by myself, James Semple, and of course, the ever popular and amazing writer of Star Trek and Star Wars, Mark Newbold. Go and check it out, folks, and we'll catch you next time here on the Fandom Podcast Network's The Lethal Mullet Podcast. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.